and welcome to the Student Ministry Conversations podcast with your hosts, Brent Aiken, David Pruitt, and Russell Martin. This podcast is all about equipping, encouraging, and inspiring youth pastors weekly with topics that are brought to the table by youth pastors from all over the world. And now, here's your host for this week, Brent Aiken. Hey, and welcome to the podcast. If this is your first time listening to us, we want to welcome you and invite you over to our website, studentministryconversations.org, where you can find all of our previous episodes, show notes, blog articles. Our goal is that you are inspired, encouraged, and the things that you hear on this podcast can equip you to be a better student pastor for the church that you're serving in. So today we are sitting down with Brandon Best, and Brandon is a youth pastor from New Braunfels, Texas. I had the privilege of meeting him about a month and a half ago, in a conference over the state of Texas. And, man, it was energetic to say the least. Loved Brandon's enthusiasm and his heart. And I was like, you have to come on this show. And he was willing to, come and join us. And so Brandon, today we are sitting down to talk about being old in youth ministry or just doing youth ministry for a career. And not necessarily doing it as a stepping stone or just a post-college for a couple years job, but how do we go about taking the job of youth ministry and making it a career instead of just a job that we have for a couple years? But before we get into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about you, your church, what you've done, where you a little more about what church, where you are, your family, all that fun stuff, anything you want to share?
Yeah. Hey, Brent, again, great to meet you. And just thought, like, when we sat down together, we were with some youth pastor greats, weren't we?
Yeah.
Some guys that it's amazing that they are still at it. And just thinking about the things that they started and what they're wanting to pass down to us and then that we want to pass down to others, I really sense this thought of, man, we could be equippers. We could be so much more in our tribe of youth ministry. And I think just to start right off with that, I really have found my tribe of people because the senior pastor always doesn't get me and I'm okay with it. Yet at the same time, I want to serve. I want to serve the church. I want to help with student ministry. Not everybody understands why that guy is still doing what he's doing. And on top of my history, I've had 15 years of full-time middle school ministry on top of student ministry. And so that's even more insane and crazier, I think, in this day and age. Just some of my story. Number one, I'm married to my lovely wife, Laura. We have two kids right now. I've got a 17-year-old. Her name is Katie. She is all band, all percussion, which I'm a percussion drummer person myself. So some musical stuff going on. And then my 15-year-old son, Noah, is a basketball guy. And I'm a little tall, at least. If I had no athletic ability, at least I could swat the ball. I feel like my son's got a little bit more athletic ability. Comes from the mama side, I guess. And so that's what we're doing, mama and daddy. On top of youth ministry, are going to band stuff and going to basketball games and also doing student ministry. Just came off a mission trip this last week at spring break, and both my kids were a part of that. Love seeing that. And so there's some longevity stuff. There's, hey, I've had students in my ministry, I'm surviving it, number one. Number two, I'm a dad in the dad bod, old man at age 43, going on 44 in the next month.
There you go.
And so there's some of that. And so, man, I'm a child of, born in 1980, lived in the 90s, was a part of some great youth ministry stuff, came to Christ at a young age. My mom was a pastor's kid. And so we were in the church all the time. But they let me have my own journey of calling. And I don't think in eighth grade when I was coming before a student ministry camp and saying I'm called to ministry, that I would have imagined being in this position or sitting in this seat at that time. So that whole journey of calling, that whole journey of discovering what it means even to be a youth pastor and to be in this place and feel like I'm still in the sweet spot and I just love what I'm doing. I think it's a process as well. And so when I graduated high school in 1998, went to Dallas Baptist University, met my lovely wife, 98 to 02, at the same time was a part of a worship ministry that also, we did everything, put on Disciple Nows, we traveled around Texas and a little bit beyond Texas to small churches. And that's, I believe, where God, number one, introduced me to what real ministry is, having to do everything, but also carved a heart for students. I was in my young, 20s, lots of energy. And so I was with middle school automatically. Our director, leader, Henry, he passed away a couple of years ago. I see as a mentor, someone that cut my teeth on ministry. And the only time I spent at that time, and I even questioned sometimes, why would you not put me with high school? One time I was sick on a weekend or feeling quote-unquote puny, and Henry Lofton said, oh, you're feeling puny? Then I'll put you with high school. I'm like, oh, you see me as like an energetic guy that can take this on. So that flipped my whole perspective, and lo and behold, fast forward, I got out of college, married my wife in 2002. We actually got married at First Baptist Church in New Braunfels, Texas, and I never imagined I'd be back in New Braunfels. In fact, I thought, hey, I'm doing ministry. I'm going to go off and do great things for God, whatever that is. Went to seminary, and around 05 to 07, stepped into Grace Community Church and was the youth pastor. It was a good church. I feel like even out of that experience, I gained a few things. Number one, I learned what a youth network was like being in Arlington, Texas. And I learned that God had not only carved a heart for youth ministry for me, but this heart of unity for the kingdom of God, that through student ministry, we could reach students in a whole different way than people see, not just on a Wednesday midweek or a Sunday morning, but we can go to the campuses and be missionaries to those campuses. We can engage students to share the gospel with their friends. And so that lit a fire in me. And I remember sitting and going, I'm at like a non-denominational church, Baptist background as a youth pastor, sitting with like a Church of Christ guy, a Young Life guy, somebody else. And they're pouring into me. They all became great friends just in those couple of years and really gave me just that heart of unity that launched me into coming to Oakwood in 2007. So we had Katie right before we left Grace Community Church. You want to talk about longevity. I stepped into Grace Community Church going, hey, I'm a young guy, I've done a lot of ministry. I haven't been on staff. And so right up, just kind of shared with them my strengths and weaknesses. And I felt like I learned some things the hard way. So if you want to talk about taking one ministry past someone else, a guy who went in church planted and took all his youth leaders with him, and then almost starting from scratch, but they have this great history and legacy of the past guy trying to do ministry. I talked the camp director out of a $6,000 fee so while I was at camp, and that was totally crazy. Tried to talk to them and tell them, hey, we only have this many students. We told you this many. My finance guy is not writing a check. And I was in deep waters at church. I was in deep waters at the camp. We still brought the camp people there. And I just said, hey, this is where I am. I don't know what else to do. And the guy goes, well, we're going to forgive you of that. And so learned some things the hard way. But at the same time, as we stepped out and Laura and I stepped out, God took control of maybe not the best situation in my first church for a couple of years, and put us in a church for a long while back in my wife's hometown. And so love being a part of that, being a part of the community. 2007, I was maybe even questioning God, should should I continue on? Is this where you're leading me? And yet at the same time, going through a little bit of trial with the past church, thought the Lord was most definitely confirming student ministry is where it's at for you, Brandon. And you might be, with your personality, your strengths and weaknesses, and all that you are, the right fit for even middle school for such a long time. And I thought, oh, you know, 7, 8 years, 15 years as a middle school pastor, you start asking yourself, am I still good for this? Am I still good to be in here? So all that to say, I'm blessed to be where I am. And then the past couple of years, past the pandemic, we've made some changes and kind of changed the model of our student ministry. I've got a couple of associates that make me feel really old because they're in their young 20s. I'm in my 40s. And I've got some people, volunteers that have served with me for a long while. And we're taking a swing at and doing ministry the best we can at this moment in time. And still believe that God's given me vision for that. And moving forward on that and still growing, still doing all that I'm doing. So
that's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah. And so obviously with a bunch of years, so you said 15 years of middle school ministry, how long, like what is your total time frame in student ministry so far, whether it be volunteer or on staff somewhere, or like what number are we looking at?
I mean, 26 years maybe.
Okay. With that, 26 years is a really, really long time to be involved, especially in any ministry, let alone student ministry. You have seen a lot of change. You have seen a lot of things come and go. And I think that's probably where the conversation should go first is I love asking this question. What is the biggest change you've seen in youth ministry? And what is the thing that hasn't changed at all?
Man, I love the fact that, so just a weird story. I mean, of course, social media and all that, that landscape has totally changed. And so we had something on staff where I had to forego my personal Facebook account and join. It was a staff thing. Hey, we're Baptist minded here. We're, you know, however you want to say. So it's Brandon and Laura Best, and we're together joint at Facebook. And I felt like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do, because at that time, Facebook was everything in student ministry, and that was short lived. Right now, parents and grandparents are on Facebook. Yep. Students don't care. And I remember having like these group chats with all these kind of things. And so like fast forward to getting that account back and reviving it. I'm looking and I'm going, oh, I totally forgot that, man, I was talking with college leaders and students and whatever else on Facebook. And I thought, man, that was it. And just look where we are now.
You know? Yeah.
Follow me on Instagram or Twitter, or you've got TikTok. We're doing so many different things. And just where all that has gone, I think is a big change. And then I still think, you know, even especially, we say this post-pandemic, that we realize that face-to-face and that true authentic community is never going to go away. I think that's something that's God ordained. I think that's something that that is what sticks beyond the ages. And it's just taking a swing at how that happens, how that community happens.
Yeah.
And so I love this. I love that you and I are, in a sense, in a community right now on a podcast, and we have the ability to reach. But I also believe that, you know, most definitely student ministry, there's effective ministry going on when, you know, it's head to head, hand to hand, heart to heart type of stuff. And
yeah.
So that, I don't think that's ever going to go away. I think that's how God created us and made us.
Sure. No, and I definitely agree with that. I think that there's great power in that. And social media is definitely, or just, and not even necessarily social media, just the types of communication have changed.
Yeah.
One of the stats that we got at the conference that you and me were at, where they said that Gen Z and Gen A are doing close to, like, what was it, over a third of their communication is social media now, which is crazy. But, like, that has genuinely shifted the trajectory of how we communicate as people. And so when people would prefer you Snapchat them, or when they would prefer you message them on a social media over text them, that's a huge deal. And the thing is like, in the grand scheme of things, texting in and of itself hasn't been around for too terribly long. And so this method of communication is just drastically changing and becoming new every couple of years. And so that's been really, really interesting to watch. So with the time in youth ministry, obviously the conversation gearing about, like, you know, how do you do this? How do you go about taking a calling into youth ministry specifically and making it something that is more than, for lack of a better word, becoming a lifer in youth ministry or making this your full-time career? How do you go about making this something to consider? Because I know a lot of youth pastors that start young, and then they start young, and then they decide to go to seminary, and they want to be a senior pastor someday, or they want to be a missionary or something to that nature, and so they do this to start off, but then they don't really have any expectation or any desire to take this into a full-time career. What was the outside of calling, obviously, because that's important, but what are some things that you have learned over your time in youth ministry that has allowed you to kind of get a grip on, hey, I'm going to do this, like, for my work career, like, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life, and then I'm probably going to retire, and I'm still going to do it some more, because ministry doesn't necessarily end. So what are some ways, or what are some things that you've kind of learned along the way that has kind of helped you in your longevity?
Kind of stay in the game. You know, something really funny, as you were sharing at this moment, and I'm sitting in the office, a senior pastor just popped in, and he was like, "Oh, I'm sorry." Anyway, so
leave me alone. I'm on my communication.
So the first thing I would say is learning to lead up. Learning to lead up is a great. That's for some reason at the top of my mind, but learning to lead up and to even in the fact of those small things on staff that you do to represent. You're an ambassador for student ministry no matter what. And there's so much that people turn and lean on you, you know, and I get that. The typical youth pastor going, hey, you have a fun game and a this and a that, and you have all these, you know, thoughts, and can you do this for us, for the church, or for our staff party or whatever. But leaning in on that instead of having maybe that, I don't have time for this, and using that as a launch pad for leading up, helping out, sharing just the love and the goodness that you've had. That's a super awesome thing. The second thing, you know, I was thinking about what's impacted me in the past few years. And I really like Paul David Tripp's book Lead, just for the very fact that he talks about just this fact. What stuck with me is I'm not immortal. Very much.
Yeah.
The mortality rate hovering around 100% for all of us, right? That's a statistic I know. 99% of statistics are made up, I heard. At least 1% of them are true. But anyway, all that to say, to think through that and to realize that I think there's a passion the younger you are to say, I've got this, and I've got all of this, and I can take leadership. I've got all these things, and we can over yes ourselves and not delegate or not train up leaders. But I think the best thing that was spoken to me was realize who I am, number one, and that I can't do this alone. And I think in that, in longevity, when you talk about longevity, having other people cast, being that ambassador, you know, we're talking about on a church staff, but being that ambassador in your group of, whether that's parent leaders or adult leaders or college leaders, saying, hey, this is what student ministry is about, and I want you to come alongside. And I totally get the side where, because we are passionate individuals, because God does instill something, a bit of wisdom and understanding on a certain area. Hey, I work with students and I do this. When you do it like that, that's kind of lame. Or you know, when you speak to students like that, that don't work. Okay. But being an ambassador for your church and asking people to come alongside and say, partner with me, let's love on students. And even if that adult leader is not doing it 100% like you would want it to be done, they're going to get something, and their addition to your team is going to help you in your life. Because in my 20s, I could do literally anything. In fact, me and my wife being married, we thought this was amazing. We'd go off and we're able to turn on a dime and meet a student's needs, meet up with somebody, you know, whether that's a coffee shop or whatever else. But then you add children into the mix, and you start looking at what's investing in that relational account in my family, and then what's subtracting from that relational account in my family. And very much youth ministry, because of the messiness of it, isn't always on a schedule. And so having other leaders to help you and come alongside, I think the best thing I ever did was we're a fairly larger church, and we had some passionate young ladies that said, we're leading the girls ministry. And so in a sense, they felt like they were a separate entity. But I said, hey, I need more great people like you. And they shared their testimonies with me and said, come to camp with me. Okay. Also, you know, after at camp, I don't know if this is a youth pastor thing, right? Hey, you came to camp, you know these students. Why don't you help serve on a Wednesday?
Yeah.
I literally told them, I said, hey, if you want to do girls ministry well, come be a part, set up the relationship. You can invite them to literally anything because you know them.
Sure.
And because they did that, you know, that was not something my wife had to do all the time.
Yeah.
And that gave her the ability to love and invest in our kids.
Yeah.
And she could pick or choose what she was about and what she was doing. One way that was super impactful, and I have to do a shout out to a lady. Her name is Chrissy Shrub now. helped do a wedding. She was Chrissy Runnels back in the day. But she really saw that as, hey, we're going to be a part of the student ministry. I'm going to jump in with camps and things. I'm going to be a solid leader for you and do this girls ministry. In fact, I'm going to give you another person as I step out to lead that. And they did, the capacity that they had, the leadership that they poured into, some of those ladies are still ministering to those young ladies in college and beyond. Because of those mentorship, just relationships they set up. And when my wife was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and couldn't be a part of my ministry, there was another step where I was just thankful to God that somewhere along the way, people gave me the ability to ask for other people to come alongside, to build a team. And so building that team is huge. And even giving away parts of things that I didn't want to give away has been a plus.
Yeah.
Because of what circumstances gave me, because of time that I needed to fill up myself and fill the bucket in my own heart with the Lord and with healing and maybe even learning some things. So.
Yeah. So you said realize who you are. You said you can't do it alone. And emphasize the team aspect of what you're doing, right? And so I think all three of those are incredibly valid. And I like how you mentioned, like, when you're in your 20s and you're starting out, you're like, oh, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. And yeah, no problem. I can do that. And you kind of have all this mindset of where you can do, like, you feel like you don't need anybody else because you can run the program by yourself. And a lot of times we get into, especially when we're younger, we're working at these smaller churches that might not necessarily have the volunteer base built up like some of the more established churches might have. And so a lot of times we do spend our first couple years where it is us and maybe a spouse. And if we're lucky, maybe one parent that either doesn't trust us enough to leave their kids with us, so they're up there too, or we have one parent that's bought into the program. And so we have this like kind of dynamic that youth ministry jumps into of this, you know, it is us. It's us and maybe a spouse. But I think that's one of the most valuable things you can learn as you get into youth ministry, like you said, is just this mindset of like, why would you want to do it alone? Why would you want to go through the mindset of like, I have to do every single one of these things. And then also like, I'm never going to be as effective as a female can with our female youth. I'm never going to have the shared life experience. I'm never going to have the opportunities to pour into them in the same way that I could empower and equip a female volunteer or a female staff in my ministry to do that. And so understanding that you are not it is probably the most important thing with longevity, is realizing you might have wisdom and you might have insight, and that's super important. But kind of like what you said with yours of the mindset of how you are kind of overseeing other youth pastors now. And they're all younger. They're all they have the energy or the youthful vigor, and that's great. But you provide the administrative oversight. You provide the wisdom, the experience, and you have the understanding to be like, "Hey, I know how that seems like a good idea, but it's not." Like where you can kind of step in and be that mentor model for the younger people, and that's awesome. But going into this mindset of like, I can do it alone is a guaranteed way to burn yourself out. And I think that's one of the big things that we see with a lot of youth pastors is they do have this like, I can do everything mentality. And then that I can do everything lasts for 2 or 3 years until they're just downright exhausted or find a hard season in their life where they have no support group around them. They have no network to fall back on, and I think that is a tremendous reason that we see so much turnover in youth ministry. Those are all great points. Those are all great things to consider as if you're listening to this and you're like, man, I do want to do this for my life. Those are all great things to learn. But from a practical perspective, for the person that's listening to this, maybe they are a lifer and this is just like encouraging them to keep on keeping on, or maybe you're talking to the young youth pastor that wants to be in this for the long run but might need to have some rules and some guidelines established. What are some practical things that you would encourage youth pastors with that they need to start doing, so it will ultimately help them in the long run of doing this as a career?
Man, I always talk, and I talk about this with students and with leaders, that we do, as a ministry, you do a whole lot of pouring out. And so even having planned times where you're getting poured into, I think the best illustration or thought was I started going to Refuel retreats with Leader Treks, and they kind of had this life mapping thought. And just as we're doing this life mapping stuff, thinking about what are the things that fill me up and what are the things that I call it, fill my bucket. You know, I'm a big guy. I got a big bucket to fill up. I need to be working out of the overflow. Sometimes I'm working out of the last, you know, inch of water in that bucket. and asking for overflow, asking for a torrential downpour from the Lord
Yeah.
in the moment, you know. And so planning those times, and whether it's, and I'll say this, I'm charged up. I just went on this mission trip and it was great. With students led people to the Lord. We were down in the valley. I'm charged up. I'm also tired. And so I did plan something. I know some things. Number one, I am a quality timer. I love spending time with my wife and my family. And so we planned, and I'm going to say this, my wife and I, back in the day, loved Stephen Curtis Chapman. That's not always my music right now. But
yeah,
he's in town, and we're not far from Austin. So he's in Austin. The tickets weren't super expensive, and I told my wife, I did a thing. And I planned it because I knew coming off of a spring break trip, we needed some time. Go on a date, you know, and have some refresh time. I'm going to do that tonight. I also have no problem, and I don't apologize for taking some vacation days, or even – if I'm feeling a sniffle, come on, taking a sick day, even though at one point you might feel like I've got to give it all, I've got to push through. But if I take some rest time and I'm better for that next step of whatever God's calling me to do, then that's even better. And I think planning some of those times of refreshment, and when you get into a season where you realize there's possibly a routine. I hesitate because it's so spontaneous with students and relationships, but there are routine things. You can set a schedule. If you're a person learning to plan, I'm a recovering procrastinator and relational guy. And so I love being with people and doing all that. I've got to work to plan, but I realize now that if I plan certain things during the high times, and then plan for fill your bucket times, plan time for me for silence and solitude and some spiritual disciplines, plan to have seasons where I'm meeting with certain people on certain days because I know they're going to fill the bucket and not subtract. And then plan for those other days when you know you're going to have a hard conversation. And you can be proactive about some of that.
Yeah.
And some things come up automatically. You've got to, you know, put out the fires. But there's the other side where you go, you know what? I can schedule this. I can set this up. And then I can make sure I'm good and I am overflowing with what the Lord has so that people get that and they don't get the tired Brandon that's a little grumpy, that's hangry, and that isn't like good to be around anyway.
Yeah.
Why does anybody want that? You know?
Yeah.
So.
No, that's good. That's real good. And I think there's a lot to that. The other thing I would add to that is if you're listening to this and you're married, you need to have the groundwork established with your spouse. Of, hey, if I come home and I'm bringing a bad situation from work home, call me out on it. Don't let me bring the negativity that sometimes this job has home. Also, if you aren't married, you need to have a friend that is constantly pouring into your life the same message of like, you're kind of being a jerk right now because you're still not over what happened today. I think there's a lot of jobs, and this is not exclusive to ministry. I do the same thing for my wife. She's a teacher, and she's a special education teacher. And so she does have some days where it's just like, I don't want to be here, like, because it is a really, really hard job sometimes. And so this mindset of like, hey, you're bringing work home, stop it, kind of thing. Or, hey, you need to go decompress for 30 minutes. Why don't you go to the store? And then come home after you've had some time to process or something to that nature. You talked about hard seasons and hard moments of life. Yeah, we all have them. Some of them are worse than others. But you will experience hard seasons. I'm saying this out of coming out of a season where we've had three youth lose a parent in the last 13 months. Which is, it's hard. There are conversations that have to happen. There are situations where you just kind of feel the weight of the world. And it's one of those things that if you aren't guarding yourself, if you are not having those people that will pour into you, it will take you. Like you said, the whole bucket thing. If you don't have people pouring into your bucket, you're going to run out. I mean, obviously God should be the overflow, but sometimes God's using other people to pour into your bucket too. And so be very, very adamant on that. Don't allow yourself to get into those situations to where it's you against the world, because you're going to run out of juice. You're going to run out of stuff in your bucket, and eventually you're going to be pouring out to other people when you don't have anything to pour out yourself. So, very, very good advice. Love it. Love it. Two things, I guess. First off, I would like to just give you open mic of anything else you want to say on the topic. And then kind of close with the question of, like, if you had one thing to encourage youth pastors, whether it's on longevity or not, just kind of like an open floor to kind of finish the conversation of, like, if you could say something to encourage youth pastors that are listening to this, what would you tell them? So anything else on longevity, and then what would you have to say to encourage a youth pastor listening right now?
Anything else on longevity? I think something simple, but always being a learner and never thinking that I've got it. And then at the same time, giving the blessing of what I have been a part of to others. And so early on, I struggled with this thought of, why would I ask somebody to give up their time to come alongside me? Why would anybody want to do this? And yet, every leader I have with me loves it. The people who stick with it love it. They say it's a blessing. And so maybe turning your mindset from, oh man, I'm taking some time away from somebody, or I'm making a big ask from someone, and saying, you know what, I'm gonna bless someone, and that totally doesn't get what student ministry is, and ask them to join the fight in this, and bless them with that. That's just huge in my life, and thinking that way, and then blessing others to, I love to teach and preach. I'll just put it that way. I love to pray. I love to pray out loud. A lot of people don't. I love to be the guy in a certain sense, just bringing what the Lord's put in me and giving to others.
Sure.
But if I think I'm the only one, if I'm the only person that's speaking into the lives of teenagers, how are they going to get the other side of the story from someone else?
Yeah.
We are so unique. We have so many different gifts, talents, and abilities. The thought is this: I'm right now a paid staff member. How big of a story is it for someone to say, I've been giving up my vacations to hang out with you guys?
Oh yeah.
I gave up extra time. I'm a volunteer, and I'm here this Sunday morning. I'm teaching you with this gifting.
Yeah.
And I'm still living the life, you know, in the work world. And that is a vision that students need as well.
Yeah.
I think just as much as they need someone called and a pastor, they need other people sharing and seeing and being the vision of what it means to follow Christ in the normal work world. Not everybody's going to be a youth pastor. We hope so. I hope that God calls out the next youth pastors right here in my student ministry, or missionaries, or senior pastor, whatever else it is. And I'm praying for that, and I'm asking for that.
Yeah.
But giving other people the opportunity to teach and to lead and to take a part, I think, is so huge. And that being a blessing, and then that letting that blessing come in return, I think just sitting in Luke 15 and those parables, and of course we know the prodigal son, but looking at Christ and what he is saying, the point he's making is people are the treasure.
Yeah.
That all of heaven and earth celebrates one lost person coming to Christ, but people are this is the treasure.
Yeah.
The gold, silver, and precious stones that we have. So if that's the case, the people that are coming alongside you to serve, they're the treasure. The students that are in your student ministry, they're the treasure. And the ones that totally get it, I am with every single one of you, with the students that just are staring at the ground, silent, not engaged. I'm with you. I feel that awkwardness. And yet, the next student that totally gets what it means to be on mission for Christ, to follow him, that they're on fire for him, that's the gold, silver, and precious stones in this life. And the more you think about that, the more you think about that treasure. We have a treasure trove in student ministry all around us to bring people in to say, hey, this is the time and the place. And all the statistics say, hey, children's ministry, student ministry is where it's at to impact people for eternity, for people to be converted or changed, or however you want to say that. That this is the time and place. You have the ability to help someone engage in that.
Yeah.
To me, that's a powerful thing that engages me. And then I think the last thing I would just say is, man, sometimes I don't realize when I'm grieving or that something's impacting me. But a couple of years ago, my uncle tragically died. My aunt, they were swimming with the manatees. It was a bucket list thing for them. It was a vacation. And of course, they were kind of getting up in their years. They were doing fun things like that. And he went underwater and almost drowned and was crying for help. And with all the hustle and bustle, all those kind of things, got out of the water, but also had cardiac arrest along with that. And his life was gone.
Yeah.
Just like that. And I think because and so being a pastor and saying a light into eternity, but also having that hit home. This is a man that just I was close with growing up as a nephew. And in fact, even going through some hard times, my mom's sister, he was a pastor's kid too. He understood things. And hey, we have just some, when we tithe this week, this month, we thought of you, and here's something out of the overflow. And it blessed us, and it met a need. And I just remember those type of things. And so losing my uncle in such a tragic way, and then processing all of this, and then looking at the calling that God has on us, I believe what energizes me the most is just this thought that no matter who we think we are, time is short. We've just come past a pandemic. How many lives have been wrecked because of a loss of somebody?
Yeah.
And yet the Lord Jesus has given us this picture of eternity.
Yeah.
And I was convicted by a song where it said, when I rise, and I believe the Lord Jesus was speaking to me through that, through scripture and through what we've been talking about, just meditation on the truth of the Lord, is it's not just going to be you, Brandon. It's going to be when we rise.
Yeah.
And just to think about that picture, and I don't think we do that enough, to think about that picture of we have the ability to rise with the saints, with the people that we impact, and what a celebration that will be.
Yeah.
And the Lord has turned that on me to just challenge students, for me to say without a doubt, I know where I'm going. I know my eternity. I know where I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, when and where that happens. My greatest joy would be for you to join me.
Yeah.
That on that day at the end, we would rise together.
Yeah.
And meet the Lord face to face. And all the tragedy, all the tragic things, all the culture wars, all the stress and all the stuff that we seem to absorb and take and deal with, that's going to be nothing in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my thought is, come with me. And I don't know if you're a youth pastor. I say stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. You're doing something that's impacting for eternity. And we need you. And looking at this generation and hearing all the statistics and all the thoughts, they need us.
Yeah.
They need us now more than ever to understand what true relationship is with our Father through Jesus Christ, to understand what true community is in Christ, with people who encourage and love on, and understand what it means to emanate the love of Jesus Christ through love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So,
yeah, man. All right, that's going to conclude our service. The tithe and offering will be on – no. but, man, what a powerful statement. What a powerful testimony. Just the mindset of, like, you know, that at the end of the day, that's it. At the end of the day, we are just trying to bring people with us. But we have an even greater privilege, and I think with that also, we get to be – in the conversation, we get to be in the sharing of when we have students bring other people to Christ. And when that happens, there's not a greater feeling in the world. Because we get to see that raw excitement. We get to see that just absolute joy in the spirit, that kids have when they realize that, hey, not only is this worth it, but I can do it. And just words, man, I don't have words for it. But so with that though, we have to understand that longevity is important, because one of the statistics that is real, that does show up, is the fact that typically the longer that you're there, the more opportunity for life change, the more opportunity for building that relationship with your students to where they will make that decision, happens. And so the youth pastor that changes churches every year, year and a half, you're not going to have the influence. You're not going to have the drastic relationships that a longer staying youth pastor will have. I think it was Mark DeVries, maybe a couple decades ago now, that said, you have to be there for at least 3 years before you can start seeing change. I'm a firm believer in that. And so with this conversation, with Brandon's great, great words, I hope that if you're listening to this, you see the value of staying put. You see the value of staying in youth ministry. And if God has called you to this, allow it to be a calling that lasts for life. Don't feel like you're too old for this. I have friends that are in ministry and youth ministry that are in their late 60s, and they've been doing it forever. I have friends that are in their 20s that are just getting out into the world of ministry, and youth ministry is their first job. It happens. And so with that being said, wherever you are, hopefully this conversation has blessed you and given you some ideas to kind of continue just running the race. And that's what we're supposed to do. And you, my friend, have done it well. And I continue to be excited to hear more and more about what God does through you. But that is all we have for this episode. If you're a frequent listener of our podcast, all that we ask is that you do your part to get our podcast out to the greater student ministry audience. You can share our podcast with your youth pastor friends. Either way, if you do it, please on social media, tag us at Talk Student Men when you share this with friends. That way they can get connected with us. We can get connected with them. And then just either tag us in something, or if this episode or another episode stands out, send that one out to your friends, and just help us get out to, more and more youth pastors. But either way, be sure to tag us in the post at Talk Student Men. Finally, if you'd like to be like Brandon and be on the show in the future, we have no podcast without guests. This is not our show. This is your show. This is a show that we are trying to highlight the youth pastors that are in the trenches doing ministry on a day-to-day basis. And so if you'd like to be on the show in the future, reach out to us on social media or send us an email, podcast@studentministryconversations.org. And we'd love to set up a time that you can come on the show with us. But Brandon, man, this conversation has been a lot of fun. Love your heart. Love getting to listen to you talk about ministry. It's infectious, man. Like, you have a gift with words. And it has been a pleasure to meet you, and I look forward to continuing to collaborate with you in the future. And for the listeners that are getting to hear this, man, we hope that this was something that encourages you, something that inspires you to keep on keeping on. And if you ever need anything, I know I can speak for Brandon. You can contact both of us, and we'd love to be that asset. We'd love to be that listening wall or sounding board or whatever you want to. Whatever you need, we'd love to be there to help out if you need that voice. But with that being said, we hope that you have a great week, and we will see you next week for the next episode.
See you guys.